Welcome back to our program. In this hyper era of political correctness and cultural oversensitivity, writing editorials or opinion pieces can become a real minefield. Hans Nedzwiecki is the latest to be caught up in this after he wrote a piece in the spring issue of Right magazine intended to recognize the strength of indigenous writers in this country. Mr. Nedzwiecki's piece dismissed the notion of cultural appropriation and encouraged writers to, quote, write what they don't know. What followed was outrage, apologies, and his resignation from Right magazine. Now, in an effort to try to better explain all of this and the concerning path it may put free speech on, we have online former Toronto Star reporter and Canadian author Robert McBain. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Now, until this week, we didn't really know much about cultural appropriation. So there's a piece in the Toronto Star that's appearing, I gather, today, and it asks the basic question, what cultural appropriation is and why you should care. Maybe you could enlighten us.
Well, the concern that I have as a writer is that what we now have is a separation of writers in Canada by race. We have Indigenous writers, and we have, I guess, the rest of us who are white writers. And what we're learning through this most recent situation where this fellow resigned from Right magazine and Jonathan Kay resigned from The Walrus is that the, quote, Indigenous writers are saying white writers shouldn't be writing about us. And that is a very alarming situation.
So what was it that Mr. Nedzwiecki wrote that caused such a controversy?
Well, what he did was, in a very flippant way, say, why aren't more white writers learning about and writing about the original peoples of this land, which is a very constructive suggestion. But then he went overboard and suggested there should be a prize for appropriation, and that's what put the whole thing off the rails. If he had just stuck with, why is it that we don't know enough about our First Nations people and their fascinating history, and why aren't more white people, middle-class white people, writing about it, that would have been good. But instead, we're at the situation where they're saying, hey, nobody should be writing about us except us, because only us can tell our stories, and that's nuts.
Even the suggestion that there ought to be a prize for appropriation, why is that such a big deal?
Well, one of the writers, I think his name is Jesse Wente, broke down in tears on The Current on CBC yesterday morning, because for a lot of them, because of the trauma of the residential schools, of being forced off their land, etc., it's a very sensitive issue. And then to go and have the white writers, most of them very established middle class, say, hey, let's give a prize for people appropriating their culture. It was very hurtful, and was very stupid.
Now, the outrage primarily came from Indigenous writers, if I read the landscape right, but that's sort of like saying if you're black, only you can write about slavery, or if you're Jewish, only you can write about the Holocaust. You know, is that sort of the line of thought that you have as well?
Well, yes, because the underlying assumption, Jim, is that Indigenous writers are one, but they're not. For example, if you follow their argument to its logical conclusion, an Ojibwa, whose society is patriarchal, shouldn't be writing about a Mohawk, whose society is matriarchal. A Blackfoot in southern Alberta shouldn't be writing about the Inuit in the Arctic or the Mi'kmaq over in Nova Scotia, and a Mohawk shouldn't be writing about the potlatch ceremonies or the Sundance. I mean, where do you draw the line? Just because you're Indian, quote the old expression we used to use, doesn't mean only you know about or understand. And basically they're saying, I shouldn't have written my two books.
And your one book, Their Home and Native Land, is the one we spoke about the last time we talked to you. But that's an indication, I guess, that you too are guilty of cultural appropriation.
Yes, that you would take that, except that Senator Lynn Bayak, who got herself into all sorts of controversy a while back, she read my book. And she said the thing she liked best about my book was the way I allowed the people to tell their story in their own words. Like, it wasn't Robert McBain talking, it was giving voice to those people. And I should be able to do that without being found guilty of cultural appropriation.
Now, you could understand maybe why some indigenous authors were offended because of the sensitivity in their history, but what did you make of the apology that was issued by the Writers Union of Canada?
I thought it really sucked. And I wrote a letter to the executive director and said, well, what is this all the stuff about you're apologizing for the pain and the hurt you took about? I mean, what hurt, what pain? All the guy did was say, hey, listen, let's learn more about indigenous culture. Now, I should add, I am absolutely opposed to having a category that is called indigenous writers, because that is segregation, that is apartheid. We should all be writers, universal. Just like Shakespeare wrote about Othello, I should be able to write about Sitting Bull.
Now, this incident, I think you wrote through the line or the comparison that it's similar to the cancellation of a show by Toronto artist Amanda P.L. Because of complaints she too appropriated Indigenous culture. What's the background there?
Well, the background there is that Amanda P.L., who I have not met, was a big fan of Norval Morisot, who was one of the top Indigenous artists in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And when her exhibit was announced, they found out that she was non-Indigenous, and they said a non-Indigenous painter should not be painting. But the thing they miss out on is that Norval Morisot himself was called the Picasso of the North, because he copied, or let's say he used Cubism, which was Picasso's main theme. Daphne Ojig, who was one of the other famous, quote, Indigenous artists, she was invited to paint a mural in the Picasso Museum in Spain. I mean, they weren't borrowing the art. They were using the art. They were blending pictographs, Cubism, Expressionism, Realism. In other words, universal art. Now we're getting to the point where the Indigenous people are saying, no, only we can paint that way. Well, Picasso was painting that way long before they were born.
Mr. Nedzwiecki agrees he in some way may have offended some people and intends to try to apologize, but should he?
I don't think so, and I think one of the problems we have, and I'm sort of a crusty old 80-year-old white guy, there's too much of this guilt that we're all drowning in, and everybody feels guilty about this and guilty about that, guilty about the residential schools. So you get to the point where they say, uh-oh, you've gone and offended the Indigenous people again. Well, I know from my experience of over 50 years that probably 95% of the people living on the reservations scattered across Canada have no idea who these Indigenous writers are or what they're writing about. It's a very segregationist situation, Jim.
Now, this is it started as something of an in-house issue for writers. Most people haven't heard of the publication itself, but it's really exploded. So what lessons should the rest of us take away from this?
That we are becoming an increasingly segregated society when you have the Prime Minister holding these Crown First Nations consultations with the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, when you have the Minister of Aboriginal Affairs, which is now Indigenous Affairs, entering into historic nation-to-nation agreements. As I said the last time I was on your show, at the very most, we have 4% of the population that is, quote, Indigenous, and it's sort of silly for 4% to be trying to deal on an equal basis with the other 96.
Well, we now know what cultural appropriation is, and we have to be wary of that. Mr. McBain is the author, once again, of Their Home and Native Land. You can get more detail online. His website, robertmcbainbooks.ca, and that's spelled M-A-C as McBain. So thank you very much. We really appreciate you putting all this in perspective and educating us on cultural appropriation today.
Great talk to you, Jim. Take care.
You too.